A lot.
She looked back at Shelby.
The thing I didn't know is, I'd like working at the clinic even more. And I do. So maybe I had to go off a while to see that.
Is Matt your icing?
He's definitely icing.
Emma Kate grinned as she popped another gummy bear in her mouth.
And at least one layer of cake.
You going to marry him?
I don't plan on marrying anybody else. Not in a rush about it, even if Mama wishes I would be. Things are really good as they are for now. I heard they're going to do that big master bath for your Mama.
She's got sample books and magazine pictures. Daddy pretends he thinks it's crazy, but he's getting a kick out of it. Shelby took a sip of water, then took her time carefully screwing the cap back in place. Griffin was over-measuring the other day.
They're looking forward to the demo. They're both like little boys about the demo stage.
Wondering if she should bring it up, and out, Shelby looked out, caught a glint of a curving stream in a splash of sunlight. Talking about boys here, she thought, was tradition after all. The thing is, while he was over at Mama's, Griffin pretty much came straight out and said he was interested. In me. On a snort, Emma Kate popped another gummy bear.
I saw that one coming.
Because he makes moves on women a lot?
He makes moves like any normal guy, but no. Because he looked like he'd been struck by lightning when you walked into my mother's kitchen that first day.
He did? I didn't notice that. Shouldn't I have noticed that?
You were too busy feeling guilty and awkward.
What did you say to him? I just fumbled around some. I can't really be thinking about things like that.
But you are thinking about things like that.
I shouldn't be. Richard just died. And that's not even official.
Richard, or whatever the hell his name was, is gone.
As even the thought of him pissed her off, Emma Kate mimed balling something up, flicked it out toward the drop.
You're here. Your marriage was unhappy and basically a sham. You said so yourself. There's no required mourning period here, Shelby.
I'm not mourning at all. It doesn't seem right.
Aren't you tired of doing what you tell yourself seems right? You've done that for about 4 years now, and it looks like it landed you in a mess.
I don't even know him. Griffin, I mean.
I know who you meant, and that's why they invented this thing we call dating. You go out somewhere, have conversations, discover what interests you might share, and if you're attracted to each other. What about sex?
Richard didn't seem interested the last few months before. Oh. You meant with Griffin.
God, Emma Kate.
Laughing, Shelby reached for gummy bears. We haven't even gone on that invention called dating. I can't just have sex with him.
I don't know why not. You're both free, healthy, and of age.
And look what jumping into sex with someone I barely knew got me last time.
I can promise you Griffs know whatever his name was.
I don't think I know how to date anymore.
You'll ease into it. The four of us can go out and do something.
Maybe. Griff wants to take us out for pizza, and I made the mistake of saying something about it to Callie. She's asked me about it twice since.
There you go.
Problem solved, to Emma Kate's mind. She slapped Shelby on the leg.
You let him take the two of you for pizza. The four of us will have dinner or something. Then you can try a solo.
My life's a pure hot mess yet, Emma Kate. I shouldn't be dating anyone.
Honey, when you're single, going out with a good-looking guy is living.
Go have pizza, she advised, and see where it goes from there. You're going to get sick of hearing it, but I missed you so much. I miss this right here. Sitting in this spot, talking to you about anything and everything, and eating gummy bears.
It's the good life.
It's the best. And caught up in it, she grabbed Emma Kate's hand. Let's make a vow. When we're 80 or so, if we can't make the hike, we'll get a couple of young studs to cart us up here so we can sit, talk about anything and everything, and eat gummy bears.
Now that's the Shelby Pomeroy I remember.
Emma Kate swiped a finger over her heart.
That's a vow. but they have to be hot young studs.
I thought that was understood.
She moved into a routine, a contented one, working on her song list, practicing, weaving herself back into the fabric of the ridge with her work at the salon. She found it strange and wonderful how quickly it all came back. The voices, the rhythm, the easy gossip, the sights of the town and the mountains coming to life with spring. As promised, demolition began, so mornings before she left for work or errands, the house was filled with men's voices, hammering, drilling. She got used to seeing Griff and Matt, and maybe she was thinking about it a little. Off and on. It was hard not to think about a man when he showed up at your house every day with a tool belt slung around his hips and that look in his eyes.
Sounded good this morning.
She stopped on her way to get her Cali bag when Griff stepped out into the hallway from her old bedroom.
Sorry, what?
You. You sounded good. Singing in the shower.
Oh, it's a handy rehearsal hall.
You've got pipes, Red. What was the song?
She had to think back. Stormy Weather. It's the 40s.
Sexy in any decade. Hey, little Red.
He crouched down when Callie bolted up the stairs.
Mama's going to work at Granny's. I'm going to Chelsea's because Grandma works today, too.
Sounds like fun all around.
Can we have pizza?
Callie?
Deal's a deal, Griff interrupted. I could go for some pizza tonight. Tonight work for you?
He asked Shelby.
Will,
Mama, I want pizza with Griff.
To seal it, Callie climbed into his arms, then turned her head toward her mother, smiled.
Who could say no to all that?
That would be nice, thanks.
Six worked for you?
Sure.
I'll pick you up.
Oh, well, car seat. It's easier if we meet you there.
Right. 6 o'clock. Have we got a date?
He asked Callie.
We got a date,
she said, and kissed him.
Let's go, Mama. Let's go to Chelsea's.
Right behind you.
Thank you, really, Shelby said when Callie started down again. You made her day.
It's making mine. See you later.
When he walked back into the workspace, Matt raised his eyebrows.
Moving in on the local talent? One step at a time. She's a looker. Got herself a very complicated life, bro. Yeah. Good thing I've got tools.
He picked up the nail gun.
And know how to use them.
He thought about her throughout the day. He couldn't think of a woman who'd intrigued him more. The contrast of the sad, cautious eyes and the quick smile when she forgot to be careful. The seamless way she handled the kid. The way she looked in snug jeans.
It all worked for him.
He almost thought it was too bad the job was moving along so smoothly. A few glitches and he'd have more time to see her for a few minutes every day. But Ada May was no bitsy. When she decided on a tile, on a color, on a fixture, she stuck. He had time to go home, clean up, change. A man didn't take two pretty females out for pizza smelling of job sweat and sawdust. It would be an early evening, he calculated, with a 3-year-old along, which was probably for the best. He could put in a couple of hours on his own job. In fact, he thought he might move his focus to the bedroom. A man didn't bring a pretty female home to bed when that bed was an air mattress on the floor. He fully intended to bring Shelby home to bed, when she and the room were ready for it. He drove into town, snagged a parking spot on the street just a few doors down from Pizzeria, and deemed his timing perfect when Shelby got out of her minivan 2 spots up. He strolled up as she lifted Callie out of the car seat.
Give you a hand?
Oh, I've got it. Thank you.
Hey.
He heard the tears in her voice even before she turned with Callie in her arms, and he saw them welling in her eyes.
What's wrong? What happened?
Oh, it's just...
Mama's happy! She has happy tears,
Callie explained.
You're happy?
Yes.
Very.
The combination of me and pizza doesn't usually bring women to tears.
It's not that. I was just on the phone. We were a little early as Callie was so anxious. And the realtor called. The house up north. It's sold.
One of the tears spilled down her cheek before she could brush it away.
Happy tears,
Callie announced.
Hug Mama Griff.
Sure.
Before she could evade, he had both Shelby and Callie wrapped in a hug. He felt her hold stiff for a moment, then just melt.
It's just such a relief. It's like a mountain fell off my shoulders.
Good.
He pressed a kiss to the top of her head.
We're definitely celebrating. Right, Callie? Happy pizza.
We don't like the house. We're glad it's not ours now.
That's right. That's right. Shelby took a breath, leaned in just one more moment, then straightened.
We don't like the house. Not for us. Now somebody who does like it has it. Very happy pizza. Thank you, Griffin.
You need a minute?
No. No, I'm good.
Then give me the girl.
He hefted Callie into his arms.
And let's get this party started.
12. The kid was a charmer, entertained and engaged him, and flattered him by insisting on sitting next to him in the booth. He might have had a moment or two wishing the mother would flirt as overtly as the daughter, but a man couldn't have everything. It was a nice break to his day, between the job and the project. When the manager came out, pulled Shelby from her seat for a hug, he examined his reaction. Not jealousy, not exactly, but a kind of inner, careful there, buddy, as he waited to see just what was what.
I kept missing you.
Johnny Foster, a man with a sly smile and an easy manner, kept his hands on Shelby's shoulders to take a long look.
But here you are now. Didn't realize you knew Griff.
Johnny slung an arm over Shelby's shoulders as he turned to Griff.
Shelby and I go back.
My cousin Johnny here and my brother Clay used to look for trouble together.
And found it as often as possible. Your cousins? Third, fourth, what is it?
Johnny wondered.
Third, I think. Once or twice removed.
Kissing cousins,
he said, and gave her one lightly.
And you're Callie, and aren't you as pretty as a strawberry float? It's nice meeting you, cousin.
I'm on a date with Griff. We are going to have pizza.
This is the place for it. We're going to find some time and catch up,
he said to Shelby.
All right?
All right. Clay said you were manager here now.
Yeah, who'd have thought? Y'all get your order in?
Just a minute ago.
You watch over there, Callie.
He pointed to the counter, where a man in a white apron ladled sauce on dough.
I'll be making your pizza myself special, and I've got some tricks. Meant to tell you, Griff, whatever y'all did with the furnace worked like a charm. Hasn't given us any trouble since.
Good to hear.
Pizza coming up.
Shelby slid back into the booth.
It sounds like you and Matt are fixing something somewhere all over the ridge.
That's the plan. The guy who can fix your furnace when the temperatures dive, or your toilet on a Sunday morning when you've got people coming to dinner? He's a popular guy.
She laughed. And who doesn't like being popular? Busy, too. How do you manage to make yourself popular and do all the work on the old Triple Horn place?
Being popular is the job. The house is the project. I do better with the job when I've got a good project going.
Mama, look!
Callie bounced in her seat.
The cousin man's doing tricks.
And he's learned some new ones, Shelby commented, as Johnny tossed up dough, did a quick spin, caught it.
Looks like we're having magic pizza.
Wide-eyed, Callie turned to Griff.
Magic pizza?
Pretty sure. Don't you see that magic dust flying?
With eyes like blue saucers now, she looked back at Johnny,
gasped.
It sparkles.
The power of a kid's imagination, Griff thought.
You bet. When you eat magic pizza, it turns you into a fairy princess in your dreams.
It does?
That's what I've heard. Of course, you've got to eat it. Then when your mother says it's bedtime, you've got to go right to bed and wish for it.
I will. But you can't be a fairy princess because you're a boy. That's silly.
That's why I'm the prince who slays the fang beast.
Princes slay dragons.
I don't get that.
Playing it up, he let out a sad sigh, shook his head, caught Shelby smiling at him from across the table.
I like dragons. You might be able to squeeze in another wish and get yourself your own dragon. You could fly on him over your kingdom.
I like dragons, too. I'm going to fly on mine. Her name's Lulu.
Can't think of a better name for a dragon.
You've got a way. Shelby murmured, and Griff grinned over at her.
Oh, I've got lots of ways.
I just bet you do. He decided it was the best hour of his day, sitting in the noisy pizzeria, entertaining a little girl and making her mother laugh. He didn't see why it wasn't something he couldn't work into his regular schedule. Everybody could use some magic pizza now and then.
This was so nice. Shelby said when he walked them back to her car.
You sure made Callie's first date one to remember.
We'll have to have a second. Are you going to go out with me again, Callie?
Okay. I like ice cream.
That's a real coincidence. I'm starting to think we're made for each other. I like ice cream, too.
She gave him what he could only term a femme fatale smile from under her lashes.
You can take me on a date with ice cream.
Now look what you started. Amused, Shelby hauled Callie up into the car seat.
How about Saturday?
Busy strapping Callie in, Shelby glanced back.
What?
How about an ice cream date on Saturday?
Okay.
Callie bounced in her seat.
I have to work, Shelby began.
Me too. After work?
Well, I guess.
Are you sure?
I wouldn't have asked if I wasn't. Don't forget to make your wish, Callie.
I'm going to be a fairy princess and ride my dragon.
Callie, what do you say to Griffin?
Thank you for the date.
In joyful innocence, she held out her arms.
Kiss!
You got it.
He leaned in, kissed her. Laughing, she rubbed his cheek.
I like your scratchies. They tickle. Kiss Mama now.
Sure.
He figured she'd offer a cheek and didn't see why he had to settle. A man could move fast without seeming to, especially when he'd thought it through. He set his hands on her hips, glided them up her back with his eyes on hers. He watched hers widen in surprise, but not protest. So he went with it. He dipped down, took her mouth with his as if they had all the time in the world. As if they weren't standing on the sidewalk of High Street, seen by anyone who passed by or glanced out a window. It wasn't hard to forget where they were when her body melted against his, with her lips warm and soft, yielding. Her mind just emptied, every thought, past, present, future, flooding away as sensation flooded in and swamped her. Her body went limp even as it leaped to life. Her head spun in long, lazy circles as if she'd had just a sip too much of good wine. She smelled soap and skin and the hyacinths in the whiskey barrel across the sidewalk, and heard what she realized later was the hum of pleasure in her own throat. He let her go as smoothly as he'd taken her. His eyes stayed on hers again, watchful.
I thought so, he murmured.
She realized she couldn't quite feel her feet, had to fight the urge to look down to make sure they were still there.
I have to go.
See you later.
Fingers on noses, Callie. Callie put her fingers on her nose.
Bye, Grip. Bye.
He waved as Shelby closed the door, hooked his thumbs in his pockets when she walked around to the driver's side, and couldn't stop the grin when she staggered, just a little. He waved again when, after some fumbling, she started the engine, pulled away. Yeah, definitely the best hour of his day. He couldn't wait to do it again. She drove home with extra care. She really did feel as if she'd had a bottle of wine instead of a glass of Coke with her pizza. And that hum kept wanting to come back to her throat, a kind of echo to the butterflies dancing around in her belly. Callie started nodding off on the short drive home, the excitement of the day taking its toll. But she perked up again, a little on the hyper side, when Shelby parked. She'd let her daughter run down again, she thought. It wouldn't take long. And she had to be coherent, put all this business aside. She didn't have time for flutterings or hummings. Shelby didn't have to do much more than listen as Callie frantically relayed the details of her date to her grandparents.
And we're gonna have an ice cream date on Saturday.
Is that so? Well, this sounds pretty serious.
Ada Mae shot Shelby a speculative look.
Maybe your granddaddy should ask this boy his intentions.
And his prospects,
Clayton added.
I'm their chaperone, Shelby said cheerfully. Oh, I saw Johnny Foster. Didn't have much time to talk to him as they were busy. He's the one who tossed the dough. He made the magic pizza, right, Callie?
Uh-huh. And Griff said I can ride a dragon, and he's going to kill the... What is that, Mama?
I think it was a fang beast.
He's gonna kill it dead, and then we'll get married.
That must have been some pizza, Clayton commented.
You can be the king, Granddaddy, and Gamma's the queen.
She ran in circles around the room, twirling, jumping.
And Clancy can come too.
She threw her arms around the old dog.
And I'm going to wear a beautiful dress. Then it says, kiss the bride. It tickles when Griff kisses, doesn't it, Mama?
Does it?
Now Ada Mae wore a smug smile.
Uh-huh. When is it Saturday, Mama?
Soon enough. Shelby caught Callie on the fly, gave her a spin. Now we're going up. You need your bath before you go dreaming and getting married to handsome princes.
Okay.
Go on up. Put your clothes in your hamper. I'll be 2 seconds. She had the best time, Shelby said when Callie ran for the stairs.
How about you?
It was nice. He's so sweet with her. But what I wanted to tell you both is, right before dinner, I got a call. The house sold.
The house?
Ada Mae looked blank for a moment, then plopped down in a chair as her eyes filled.
Oh, Shelby, the house up north. I'm so glad. I'm so glad of that.
Happy tears. Shelby pulled out one of the tissues always in her pocket.
I did the same. It's such a burden lifted.
She turned into her father when he stepped over, folded her into his arms, rocked her side to side.
I thought I knew how much it weighed since I've been carrying it, but now that it's lifted, it was heavier than I thought.
We can help you with the rest of it. Your mama and I talked it over and...
No, Daddy. No. Thank you so much. I love you.
She laid her hands on his cheeks.
I'm doing it. It's going to take a while, but I'm doing it, and doing it feels good. It balances out some. All the times I just let things go, stopped asking questions, let somebody else take care of everything.
She leaned against him, smiled at her mother. And the worst of it's behind me now. I can deal with what's ahead. I'm so grateful to know if it gets too heavy again, I can ask.
Don't ever forget that again.
I swear it. I've got to get my baby in the tub. I had a good day, she said as she pulled back, hauled up her bag. I had a real good day.
Once she'd tucked Callie in, she sat down with her spreadsheet. She should probably wait until settlement, but she thought she had every right to be optimistic. When she balanced the sheet with the sale, she shut her eyes, just breathed. It was still a painful debt, but, oh God, she'd cut it down to size. The worst, she thought again, was over. And what was ahead? She lay back on the bed, called Emma Kate.
How was pizza?
It was magic, or so Griff convinced Callie, so she went to bed with a big smile and the anticipation of being a fairy princess riding a dragon, before she and Griff get married with all due pomp and ceremony.
He's got a way with kids. I think he's got a lot of little boy left in there.
He kissed me.
Was that magic, too?
Emma Kate asked without missing a beat. My brain's still soft. Don't tell Matt my brain went soft. He'll tell Griffin and I'll feel like an idiot. I don't know if it's because it's been so long since I've had a serious kiss, or if he's just that damn good at it.
I've heard he's damn good at it.
Shelby smiled, curled up. Did your brain go soft the first time Matt kissed you?
It liquefied and leaked out of my ears, which sounds disgusting, but was anything but.
I feel so good. So good I'd forgotten how it feels to feel so good. I just had to call you. I sold the house and got kissed brainless on High Street.
Oh, Shelby, that's great! On both counts, but shedding that house. I'm so happy for you.
I'm starting to see my way clear, Emma Kate. I'm really starting to see a clear path. Some more bumps to get over, but I see the clear. And part of the clear was being curled up on her bed talking to her best friend. The good day rolled into a good week. She could savor the sensation of being happy and productive, of earning her way. She mopped floors, filled dispensers, booked appointments, rang up sales, listened to gossip. She commiserated when Crystal complained about her boyfriend, comforted Vonnie when the masseuse's grandmother passed peacefully in her sleep. She set up chairs and tables in the little back garden area of the day spa, potted up some flowers. After checking out the preschool where Chelsea would go come fall, she enrolled Callie, and felt the pride and the pang of what she knew would be the first of many layers of separation. She had ice cream with Griff and discovered the second kiss could be as powerful as the first. But she hedged when he asked her out to dinner.
It's just my time so budgeted right now. I've got a routine going at the salon, so I'm easier there. But until I sing Friday night, see how that goes, I'm using up my free time rehearsing and planning for the next week.
After Friday.
He laid out the elements that would heat the tile floor of the new bathroom.
Because it's going to go great.
I hope so. Maybe you could come by Bootleggers on Friday for a sit.
He sat back on his haunches.
Red, I wouldn't miss it. I like listening to you rehearse in the shower.
I'm heading out right now to rehearse in place before the bar and grill opens. I hope Tansy's right about people wanting to hear somebody sing old songs while they're eating their pork chops or scooping up nachos.
She pressed a hand on her belly.
We're going to find out.
Nervous?
About the singing? No, I don't get nervous about singing. It feels too good. About the draw not justifying what they pay me. I'm nervous about that. I've got to get on. It's looking good in here.
It's coming along.
He smiled at her.
Let's make the word of the day gradation. One step at a time.
She said, understanding he wasn't just talking about a new bathroom. She squeezed in a last rehearsal Friday morning and ordered herself not to think about what she could do with the songs if she had a couple of live musicians. Still, she thought she put a little of her own spin on the old classic, As Time Goes By.
Play it, Sam,
Derek said from behind the bar.
Of all the gin joints in all the world.
Are you an old movie fan?
My daddy is, so we had to be.
And who doesn't love Casablanca? How'd that sound to you, Derek?
It sounded like Tansy had it right. We're going to rack 'em, stack 'em, and pack 'em on Friday nights.
Restacking glasses freshly cleaned from the night before, he cocked an eyebrow at her.
How do you feel about it?
Hopeful. She stepped down off the tiny stage. I just want to say, if it doesn't pull in a big draw, if it just doesn't work, it's not a problem.
Are you setting up to fail, Shelby?
She cocked her head, walked toward the bar.
Forget what I just said. We're going to kick ass so high here tonight, butts will be landing on the moon, and you're going to be obliged to give me a raise.
Don't get carried away. Want a Coke?
Wish I had time for one, but I have to head over to the salon.
To be sure she wasn't already late, she tipped her phone out of her pocket to check the time.
Tonight should bring people in just to see, she said. There's me, the girl who wasn't there for a while, and all the hyping Tansy's done. Flyers everywhere, and I'm plastered all over your Facebook page. Hell, my family's big enough to be a crowd, and a lot of them will be here. That's something.
Kick-ass high.
Kick-ass high, she agreed. I'll see you tonight.
She walked out, distracted, still rehearsing in her head. She barely noticed the woman who fell into step beside her until she spoke.
Shelby Foxworth?
Sorry. She'd gotten used to Pomeroy again in such a short time she nearly said no.
Yes. Hello.
She stopped, smiled, and searched her memory banks. But the stunning brunette with the cold brown eyes and the perfect red lips didn't ring any bells.
I'm Shelby. I'm sorry I don't recognize you. Who are you?
I'm Natalie Sinclair. I'm Jake Brimley's wife. You knew him as Richard Foxworth.
The half-smile stayed on Shelby's face as the words sounded like a foreign language to her ears.
What? What did you say?
Something feline moved into the woman's eyes.
We really need to talk, somewhere more private. I saw a cute little park not far. Why don't we go there?
I don't understand. I don't know any Jake Brimley.
Changing a name doesn't change who you are.
Natalie reached into a pale blue handbag, drew out a photograph.
Look familiar?
In the picture, the brunette was cheek to cheek with Richard. His hair was longer than he'd worn it, a bit lighter. Something was different about his nose, Shelby thought. But it was Richard smiling out at her.
I'm sorry. Are you saying you were married to Richard?
No. Wasn't I clear? Let me say it again in case you have trouble understanding. I was and am married to Jake Brimley. Richard Foxworth never existed.
But
it's taken me quite a while to track you down, Shelby. Let's have a chat.
Brimley was not one of the names she'd found in the bank box.
My God. Had he had another?
Another name. Another wife.
I need to make a call. I'm going to be late for work.
Go right ahead. It's a quaint little town, isn't it? If you go for gun racks and camo.
And didn't she sound just like Richard?
There's also art.
Shelby bit off the words.
Music, tradition, history. No call to get testy about it.
People who consider us hicks are generally self-important snobs from somewhere else.
Ouch!
Looking amused, Natalie gave a quick shudder.
Struck a nerve.
Rather than try to explain what was going on in a call, Shelby texted her grandmother, apologized, let her know she'd be a little late.
Some people like quaint. I'm a city girl.
Natalie gestured toward the crosswalk, began to walk in gorgeous heeled sandals of pale gold.
So was Jake. But you didn't meet Jake here.
I met Richard in Memphis.
Everything seemed just a little blurry.
I was singing with a band during my summer break from college.
And he just swept you away. He was good at that. Exciting, charming, sexy.
I'll bet he took you to Paris.
A little cafe on the left bank. You'd stay at the Georges Sank.
He bought you white roses.
A raw, ugly sickness roiled in her stomach and must have shown on her face. Men like Jake have patterns. Natalie patted Shelby's arm.
I don't understand. How can you be married to him?
I mean, he's dead, but how could you have been married to him? We were together for over 4 years. We had a child together.
Yes, that was a surprise. But I can see how the family unit could work for him.
I had the poor judgment to marry him. Whirlwind to Vegas. Sound familiar? And I had the good sense not to divorce him when he left me in the lurch.
It dropped on her. A single crushing weight. I was never married to him.
That's what this means. That's what you're saying. Since he was still legally married to me, no, you weren't ever married to him.
And he knew.
Of course he knew. Now she laughed. What a bad boy. Of course, that's part of the appeal. Such a bad, bad boy, my Jake.
The park held quiet. No kids on the swings or teeter-totter. None running over the green, climbing on the jungle gym.
Natalie sat on a bench, crossed her legs, patted the space beside her.
I wasn't sure if you realized that part and played along.
It seems he duped you. But then that's what he does.
For an instant, something that might have been sorrow flickered over Natalie's face.
Or did?
I can't think.
Shelby lowered to the bench.
Why would he do this? How could he do this? Oh my God, are there any more? Did he do this to another woman?
I couldn't say.
Natalie gave an easy shrug.
But since he swung pretty quick from me to you, I don't think there's another wife in between.
And that's the time I'm interested in.
I don't understand.
Suddenly breathless, Shelby sat back, pushed both hands through her hair, held it back a moment.
I can't understand any of this. I was never married, she said slowly. It was all fake, just like the ring.
You lived pretty well for a while, didn't you?
Natalie angled to her, aimed a look of contempt.
Paris, Prague, London, Aruba, St. Bart's, Rome.
How do you know all that? How do you know where I went with him?
I made it my business to know.
You had a luxury condo in Atlanta, country clubs and Valentino dresses. Then the mansion in Villanova. You can't claim he didn't give you plenty. Seems to me you had a good deal.
A good deal? A good deal?
Not breathless now, not when insult and fury rolled through. He lied to me, right from the start. He made me his whore without my knowing. I thought I loved him. At first, I thought I loved him enough to leave my family and everything I knew and thought I'd wanted.
Your mistake. But you were compensated. Plucked you out of this little hick town, didn't he?
Oh, excuse me. This art and culture-ridden town.
Dropped you right in the lap for a few years, so don't whine, Shelby. It's unattractive.
What's the matter with you? You come here, tell me all this. Maybe you're the liar.
Check it out, be my fucking guest. But you know I'm not lying. Jake had a way of making women fall for him and do what he wanted.
Did you love him?
I liked the hell out of him, and we had a damn good time. That was enough. Would have been enough if he hadn't hung me out to dry. I made an investment in him, you could say, and I paid a high price. I want my payoff.
What payoff?
$28 million.
$28 million what?
Dollars? Are you crazy? He didn't have anywhere near that kind of money.
Oh, he had it. I know because I helped him get it.
Just shy of $30 million in sparkly diamonds, emeralds, rubies, sapphires, and rare stamps.
Where's the take, Shelby?
I'll settle for half.
Do I look like I have diamonds and emeralds and all that? He left me in debt up to my eyeballs. That's the price I'm paying for believing him. What did you pay?
4 years, 2 months, and 23 days in a cell in Dade County, Florida.
You were in prison? For what? For fraud, since I rolled like an acrobat on Jake and Mickey. That's Mickey O'Hara, the third member of our happy little band. Mickey's got 20 years to go, last I heard. Smile sharp and derisive, she ticked her finger at Shelby. You don't want Mickey O'Hara coming after you, Shelby. Take my word on that.
You hired that private investigator to hound me.
I can't say I did. I do my own investigating. It's one of my skills. Half, Shelby, and I'm gone. I earned every penny of it.
I don't have half of anything to give you.
Shelby lurched to her feet.
Are you saying Richard stole millions of dollars? That the detective from Florida was telling me the truth?
It's what we do, sweetheart. Or in his case, what he did. Find the mark. Rich, lonely widows worked best for Jake. He could turn them into putty in a matter of days. Easy to get them to invest in a land deal. That was his specialty. But the big one, the biggest of our career, the one that went wrong, that was jewels and stamps. And she had some beauties. If you expect me to buy that you knew nothing about nothing, you're not selling it.
I'm not selling a damn thing.
If he had all that, why am I paying off his debts? He always was a bit of a hoarder. And those jewels were hot. The stamps? You'd need to find just the right collector for them. When it went south, Jake could take off with them, but if he'd tried to sell them, even breaking the jewelry down to the stones, they'd have tracked him. Something like that, it's best to give it a few years. Lay low.
Lay low, Shelby murmured.
That was the plan. 4 or 5 years, we figured, before we could liquidate and retire. Or semi-retire, as who wants to give up all the fun? You were his cover, that's clear. But you're going to have to go a ways to convince me you're stupid enough to know nothing.
I was stupid enough to believe him, and that's what I'm going to be living with.
I'll give you some time to think about it. Even if you're the driven snow, Shelby, you lived with the man for more than 4 years. You think about it hard enough, you'll figure out something. Consider half of close to 30 million, maybe a little more now. Motivation.
It was Shelby's turn for contempt.
I don't want half of anything you stole.
Your choice. Turn your part in, take the finder's fee if you're delicate. It'd be fat enough to pay off some of the debt you're swimming in. Like I said, I get what's mine, I'm gone. If you want to stay in this little nowhere town, working in your grandmother's beauty parlor for peanuts, singing on Friday nights in a bar for rubes, your choice. I get what's mine, you keep what's yours. You've got that pretty little girl to think about.
You go near my daughter. You think about going near my daughter, I'll take you apart.
Natalie just looked over the side of her shoulder, lips curved.
Do you think you can?
Shelby didn't think. She acted. She reached down, hauled Natalie to her feet by fisting a hand on the front of her blouse.
I can, and I will.
That's what caught Jake's eye. He liked some fire, even in a mark.
You can relax. I'm not interested in little girls, or in going back in a cell. 50-50, Shelby. If I bring Mickey in on this, you'll get nothing but pain and heartache. He's not as civilized a negotiator as I am.
She shoved Shelby's hand off her blouse.
Think about it. I'll be in touch.
Because her legs wanted to shake, Shelby sat on the bench again when Natalie strolled away.
28 million? Stolen jewelry and stamps? Bigamy? Who in God's name had she married? Or thought she married.
Maybe it was all a lie. But what would be the point? But she'd check. Check all of it. She pushed to her feet, pulled out her phone as she walked to call Tracy and check on Callie. By the time she got to the salon, she was fired up again.
I'm sorry, Granny.
What kept you? And put the wrath of God in your eyes?
Shelby shoved her purse under the front counter. I need to talk to you and Mom as soon as you're both free. I'm sorry, Mrs. Hallister, how are you doing today? The woman in Viola's chair, that Hallister boy's grandmother, smiled.
I'm doing right well. I came in for a touch-up, and here Vi's talked me into highlights. Let's just see if Mr. Hallister notices.
It's nice brightening things up for spring. Granny, I've just got to make a quick call, then I'll check supplies.
Towels should be ready to fold.
I'll see to that. Over the shop talk, they exchanged a look. Viola nodded and held up a hand behind the chair back. 5 minutes. Shelby went back into the laundry and supply room and called her brother Forrest. 13. She couldn't think about it. Callie was safe, and Tracy would keep her that way. She didn't know one damn thing about any stolen jewelry, and wouldn't know a rare stamp if someone stuck it to her forehead. If this Natalie person thought she did, she'd just have to live with the disappointment. But it upset her how easily she could believe Richard, or Jake, or whatever his name was, had been a thief, a liar. But never her husband, she thought, as she folded and stacked towels. In a terrible way, now that the weight had settled in, she took comfort from that. She'd do her work, smiling and chatting with customers, restocking supplies. Then she'd go home, have dinner with her little girl before heading to the bar and grill to give Tansy and Derek their money's worth. She wouldn't let anyone down again, including herself. Forrest found her at the end of the day while she swept the little courtyard. Did you find her? Shelby demanded.
No. Nobody by that name or description in the hotel, the lodge, in any of the cabins, the B&Bs. She's not staying in the Ridge. And I've got nothing so far about a Natalie Sinclair doing time for fraud in Dade County.
It's probably not her real name either.
Probably not, but a good-looking brunette's bound to stick in somebody's memory if she's staying in the Ridge or poking around. We'll take a look further out if she comes back, if she bothers you again.
I'm not worried about that.
Then start. You tell Mama?
I told her and Granny, and they'll tell the rest of the family. I'm not taking chances, Forrest, but I don't know anything about these jewels or stamps she says she's after.
You may know more than you think. Don't get your claws out,
he said as she whipped around to him.
Christ's sake, Shelby, I don't think you had anything to do with it. But along the way, he might have said something, done something, you overheard something that didn't click at the time. Now this is all planted in your head, maybe something will click. That's all.
Tired, she rubbed a spot between her eyebrows where a headache wanted to brew.
She put me on edge.
Imagine that.
Shelby let out a short laugh.
Is it crazy for me to be glad somewhere down deep finding out I was never married to him?
I'd say it's about as sensible as it gets.
Okay, then. I'm going to be sensible. I'm finished up here, so I'm going home.
Mama picked up Callie already from Chelsea's. I'm going to be with my girl a while, make sure she has a good supper. Then I'm going to change and fix up so I look like somebody who should be singing on a Friday night.
I'll follow you home. Safe's better than sorry every time,
he said before she could object.
Okay, thanks.
Did she know something? Something buried deep? Shelby wondered as she drove home with Forrest cruising behind her. It was true enough she could look back now, see little signs Richard was up to something. The phone calls that ended when she walked in or walked by, the locked doors and drawers, the dismissal of any question she had about what he did, where he went. She'd thought affair, and more than once. But until now, she'd never really considered thievery, not in a major sort of way, whatever that detective had claimed. And millions of dollars in jewelry? That was about as major as it got. And now that she knew? She shook her head as she pulled into the drive. She had nothing. Just nothing. She gathered her things, waved to Forrest. And when the first thing she heard when she opened the front door was Callie's laughter, she let everything else go.
After hugs and kisses and an excited retelling of her day with Chelsea, Callie settled down with a coloring book while Shelby helped her mother in the kitchen.
"You've got pretty white tulips up in your room," Ada May said.
"Oh, Mama, my favorite. Thank you."
"Don't thank me. They came about an hour ago. From Griffin."
Ada May slid her gaze and smile over.
"I think you have a beau, Shelby Ann."
"No, that was awful nice of him. Sweet of him."
"He's got a sweetness, and not so sugary it makes your teeth ache. Such a nice young man."
"I'm not looking for a beau, Mama, or a young man."
"It's always seemed to me things are more exciting when you're not looking and you find them."
"Mama, I've not only got Callie to think about and what's already in my lap, but what just fell into it this morning."
"Life's still got to be lived, baby girl. And a nice young man who thinks to send flowers adds a pretty touch."
It did. She couldn't deny it as she glanced over at the white tulips. Her favorite flower, she mused, so he'd obviously asked someone who knew her. She thought about it while she changed into a simple, classic-cut black dress. Whether she looked for it or not, Griffin was giving her some romance, and it had been a very, very long time since anyone had. And she bet he knew the flowers made her think of the way he'd kissed her. Twice now. She couldn't blame him for that, and found she didn't blame herself for thinking she wouldn't mind being kissed again. Soon. She put on earrings. She'd thought to find something stage flashy, but had opted for simple like the dress, and pinned her hair back at the sides, let it fall in mad curls down her back.
"What do you think, Callie?"
She did a model's turn for her daughter.
"How do I look?"
"Beautiful, Mama."
"Beautiful, Callie."
"I want to go with you. Please, please."
"Oh, I wish you could."
She crouched down, stroked Callie's hair as her daughter pouted.
"But they don't let kids come."
"Why?"
"It's like the law."
"Uncle Forrest is a lawman."
Laughing, Shelby cuddled her girl.
"A lawman?"
"Uh-huh. He said he can take me."
"Not tonight, baby, but I'll tell you what. I'll bring you with me to a rehearsal next week sometime. It'll be like a special show just for you."
"Can I wear my party dress?"
"I don't see why not. Tonight, Granny and Grandpa are coming to be with you, and won't you have fun?"
And after the first set, her parents would come back, switch off. It was good to know her family would be there.
"Let's go down now. I've got to get going."
The place was packed. She'd expected a crowd this first night as people were curious, or in the case of family and friends, supportive. Whatever brought them in, it felt good, damn good, to know she'd earned her keep this first time out. She'd said hey and thanks for the good wishes countless times before she made it to the table right in the front where Griff sat.
"You look amazing."
"Thanks. That was the aim."
"Dead on."
"Thank you for the flowers, Griffin. They're just beautiful."
"Glad you like them. Emma, Kate, and Matt are on their way, or nearly, and I had to fight off a dozen people to keep their chairs. That's close to literal with some giant tansy called Big Bud."
"Big Bud? Is he here?"
She did a quick scan, spotted him with his mighty bulk squeezed into a side booth, chowing down on ribs, while a skinny girl she didn't recognize sat across from him, poking at whatever was on her plate and looking bored.
"We went to high school together. I heard he's a long-haul trucker these days, but..."
She trailed off as her gaze passed over Arlo Cattery, then backtracked to meet his eyes. He hadn't changed much, she thought, and those pale eyes of his still had the power to give her the creeps when they stared. He kicked back in a chair at a table shared with a couple of men she thought she recognized as the same two he'd always hung out with. She hoped they wouldn't stay long and take Arlo and his snake stare around to Shady's, where they usually spent their beer money.
"What's the matter?"
Griff asked.
"Oh, nothing.
Just somebody else from back some years. I expected some would come in tonight, curious to see if I rise or fall.
Sensation, Griff said. That's the word of the day, since you'll be one.
She turned back to him, forgetting Arlo. Aren't you clever with your words?
The word of the day has to fit. This one does. I was supposed to let you know Tansy's got your parents, Clay, and Gilly there.
He gestured to a table at his right with a big reserved card on it.
Nobody argued with her on that one. Not even Big Bud.
Oh, Big Bud always did idolize Clay. He's all right, Griff, just insistent now and then. Daddy's just waiting on Mama to finish primping, so they'll be here soon. I'm really glad you're here now.
Where else would I be?
She hesitated, then sat. She had plenty of time. Griffin, you're really not going to pay any mind to what I said about my life being a hot mess and all the rest?
It doesn't look like such a mess to me.
You're not in it. And I found out more today, worse today. I can't talk about it right now, but it's twisted up something terrible. He brushed a hand over the back of hers.
I'll help you straighten it out.
Because that's what you do?
That, and because I've got a thing for you that just keeps getting bigger. And you've got one for me.
You're sure of that? He only smiled.
I'm looking at you, Red.
I've got no business having a thing for you, she muttered. Then, as she had on Callie's laugh, she let it go.
But
maybe I do. Her smile was pure temptation as she rose. Just maybe I do. She trailed a fingertip down his arm, felt the low vibration. She'd forgotten how heady that small, simple power could be. You enjoy the show now. She went back into the kitchen, which was utter chaos, slipped into the broom closet of an office to take a breath. Tansy rushed in.
Oh, sweet God, Shelby, we're slammed. Derek's pitching in behind the bar so we can keep up. How are you? Are you ready? I'm half sick with nerves.
She pressed a hand to her belly.
And you look cucumber cool. You're not nervous?
Not about this. There's so much else I have to be nervous about, so this? It's like sliding into an old pair of slippers. I'll do good for you, Tansy.
I know you will. I'm going out in just a few minutes, quiet them down and announce you.
She pulled a ragged strip of paper from her pocket.
My checklist. I'd do better with one. Okay. The machine's all set up just the way you want it, and you know what to do there.
I do.
If anything goes wrong with it,
I'll wing it, Shelby assured her. Thanks for saving that table for my parents.
Are you kidding? Of course we saved them a front row seat. Absolutely top of the checklist. And it stays reserved when they leave until your grandparents get here. I've got to go check on a few things, then we'll go for it. You need anything?
I've got it all. Since she wanted it to be easy, natural, she went out early, chatted with a few people she knew at the bar, got herself a bottle of water. She knew her mother tended to get worked up before she performed, or always had, so she didn't go to her parents' table, but sent them a smile, and another for Matt and Emma Kate. One more for Griff, as Tansy stepped onto the little stage. When Tansy spoke into the mic, the clattering, scraping, and voices quieted some.
Welcome to our first Friday Nights. We're traveling on back to the 40s tonight at Bootleggers, so sit back and enjoy those martinis and highballs while we bring you tonight's entertainment. Most of y'all know Shelby, and most have heard her sing. Those who haven't are in for a treat. Derek and I are pleased and proud to have her here on our stage tonight. Now y'all give a Rendezvous Ridge welcome to our own Shelby Pomeroy.
Shelby walked onto the stage, faced the room, the applause. I want to thank y'all for coming out tonight. I'm so glad to be back in the ridge, hearing familiar voices, breathing that good mountain air. This first number puts me in mind of what it was like to be away. She started with, I'll be seeing you. And here, she felt like herself. Shelby Pomeroy doing her best thing.
She's just great, Griff murmured. Sensation.
Always was. You've got stars in your eyes.
Emma Kate patted his arm.
That's okay. I can see fine through them. They just brighten things up.
She sailed through the first set, pleased to see people come in, crowd at the bar or at tables. When she took her break, Clay walked straight up to her, lifted her off her feet.
So proud of you,
he whispered in her ear.
It felt good, really good.
Wish we could stay, but I've got to get Gilly home.
She okay?
Just tired. It's the first night in a month she's made it past 9.
He laughed, squeezed Shelby again.
Come on over before we leave.
She glanced over, saw Matt and Griff pushing the tables together so her family, her friends, made one unit. Maybe she'd had a rough start to the day, she thought, but it was turning into a perfect night. She spent some time with them, then went back to the bar for more water. It didn't hurt her feelings when she noticed Arlo and his friends leaving. She'd lose that mild discomfort from having him stare at her. He'd often stared at her just like that when they were teenagers. And, she recalled, had tried to get her to take a ride on his motorcycle or sneak off for a beer. She'd never done either. And she found it downright creepy that years later, he'd still just stare at her, unblinking as a lizard. Griff slipped up to the bar beside her and made her think of much more pleasant companionship.
Go out with me tomorrow night.
Give
a guy a break, Shelby. I really want some time with you. Just you.
She turned, looked straight into his eyes, bold, green, clever. Absolutely nothing about those eyes made her uncomfortable.
I think I want that too, but I don't feel right leaving Callie 2 nights running and asking my parents to sit her again.
Okay. Pick a night next week, any night and anywhere you want to go.
Tuesday would probably be best.
Tuesday. Where do you want to go?
I really want to see your house.
You do?
She broke out in a smile.
I really do, and I've been trying to figure how to invite myself for a tour.
Consider it done.
I could bring dinner.
I'll take care of it. 7?
If we made it 7:30, I could give Callie her bath first.
7:30.
I need to check with Mama first, but I expect she'll be fine with it. And you should listen to what else has come out before we make any sort of date.
It's already a date.
He kissed her lightly before he walked away. She thought that quick gesture had been a statement, a kind of stamp, and couldn't quite figure out if she minded that or not. She put it in the back of her mind as she went back on stage for her next set. She saw Forrest come in with her grandparents, take the empty seats. But she didn't notice the brunette until halfway through her set. Shelby's heart jumped, but she kept the song going when their eyes met. Had she been there all along, tucked into a table at the back, barely visible in the shadows? Shelby looked away, tried to catch Forrest's eye, but he'd gone up to the bar, wasn't looking in her direction. The brunette rose, stood a moment, sipping from a martini glass. Then she set it down, put on a dark jacket. She added a smile, kissed her fingertip, flicked it in Shelby's direction, then strolled out. She finished out her set. What else could she do? Then made a beeline for Forrest. She was here. He didn't have to ask who.
Where?
In the back.
Who?
Griff demanded.
She left, Shelby continued. Easy 15 minutes ago. She's gone, but she was here.
Who?
Griff demanded again.
It's hard to explain.
Shelby pasted on a smile, turned and waved when someone called her name.
I have to work. Maybe you could fill them in some, Forrest. I couldn't get your attention when I saw her, but I swear she was here.
Who?
Griff demanded for the third time when Shelby walked over to another table.
I'll tell you about it, but I'm going to take a little look around outside. I'll go with you.
When Matt started to rise, Griff shook his head.
Keep the table. We'll be back.
What's all this?
Viola leaned over.
Nothing to worry about. I'll explain when I get back.
Forrest gave her shoulder a rub, then made his way out with Griff.
What the fuck, Forrest? What woman? And why did she put that look in Shelby's eyes?
What look?
Half scared, half pissed.
Forrest paused at the door.
You read her pretty well. I'm making a study of it. Get used to it. Is that so?
That's down to the ground, so. Forrest's eyes narrowed as he nodded.
I have to think about that. Meanwhile, we're looking for a hot brunette about 30, round about 5'6", brown eyes. Why? Because it's looking like she was married to the guy Shelby thought she was married to. What? Thought? What? And she's bad business. So was the asshole Shelby likely wasn't married to after all. A lot worse than I figured, and I figured bad enough. Was Shelby married or not? It's hard to say. How can it be hard to say?
Frustrated and temper building under it, Griff threw up his hands.
It's yes or no.
Forrest scanned the street, the cars parked along the curb, the light traffic passing by.
Why are people from the north always in such a damn hurry? A story takes time to tell properly. I'll do that while we walk around back, see what we see. Have you put your hands on my sister? Not so much, not yet. But I'm going to, so get used to that, too. Does she want your hands on her? You should know me well enough by now, damn it, Forrest. They don't go on her unless she wants them on her. I know you well enough by now, Griff, but it's my sister here, so that takes more. And it's my sister who's been fucked over right, left, sideways, so that's more yet.
He told the story as they walked around the side of the building, made their way toward the back and the parking lot.
And you think this woman's telling it straight? She's telling enough of it straight so I know the bastard Shelby was with was a liar and a thief. I'll be doing some looking for something on this millions in jewelry and stamps she claims they stole or conned somebody out of.
His eyes, shadowed in the dim light, scanned the cars.
If they hadn't bust the brunette's table, I could have gotten prints off it, gotten her name, her real one. If she's telling the truth about being married to Foxworth, he was using Shelby all along.
Griff stuffed his hands in his pockets, paced away.
And Callie? Callie's going to be fine either way. Shelby will see to that. But I'd like to have a conversation with this woman who's dogging her. Brunette, right? Hot, brown-eyed brunette? That's right. I don't think you're going to have any conversations with her. Better come over here.
Griff took a deep breath as Forrest hurried toward him.
Looks like we found her.
She sat, slumped in the driver's seat of a silver BMW, eyes wide and staring. Blood still seeped from the tiny black hole in her forehead.
Well, shit.
Well, shit, Forrest repeated.
Don't touch the car. I'm not touching a goddamn thing,
he said as Forrest pulled out his phone.
I didn't hear a shot.
Forrest took a picture from the side, one from the front.
Small caliber. And see how it's burned around the entry wound? Held it right against her. Right up against her forehead, pulled the trigger. Somebody might have heard a pop, but it wouldn't be all that loud. I've got to call my boss.
Shelby? Like Griff, Forrest looked back toward the bar and grill.
Let's just wait on that a little bit. Just wait on it. We need to secure this area. And shit. We're going to have to start talking to people inside the bar and grill. Sheriff?
Forrest adjusted his stance, re-angled the phone.
Yes, sir. I got a body here in the parking lot of Bootlegger's Bar and Grill. Yes, sir, that sure would be a dead one.
He glanced at Griff as he spoke, nearly smiled.
I'm certain of that as I'm looking right at her, and the small caliber bullet wound, close contact in her forehead. I got that.
On a sigh, Forrest shoved his phone in his pocket.
Sure wish I'd finished that beer because it's going to be a long, dry night now.
He studied the body another moment, then turned to Griff.
I'm deputizing you.
What?
You're a competent individual, Griff, and you sure keep your head when you find a dead body, as you've just proven. Don't shake easy, do you? It's my first dead body. And you didn't scream like a girl.
Laying a bolstering hand on Griff's shoulder, Forrest gave it a friendly pat.
Plus, I happen to know you didn't kill her since you were inside with me. Yay. She's still warm, so she hasn't been dead long. I got some things I need in my truck, and I need you to stay here. Right here. I can do that.
Because, he thought as Forrest walked off to his truck, what else could he do? He tried to think it through. The woman had been inside, then she'd gone out, gotten in her car. The driver's side window was down. Warm enough night. Had she put it down for the air, or because somebody had walked up to the car? Did a woman alone in a parking lot outside a bar roll down the window for a stranger? Maybe. But it seemed less likely than rolling it down for someone she knew.